You can be seated today. Sorta, kinda. Well, I'll just go ahead and just keep talking then. A runaway horse is just about to get slowed down. Where's Dudley Do-Right when you need him? All right, we're going to get started this morning. If you're not reading with us, I'd really encourage you. We have our reading outline. Do we have any of the reading outlines left? Do you know? They're somewhere in one of the tables back there. There's not. They're all gone. All right, forget about it. So Genesis chapter 1. Everybody stand up now that you're seated and you're relaxed. And Kenny, can you check the temp a little bit? Make sure we don't heat them all up and go to sleep. All right. Genesis 37. Our reading this week, this past week, brought us through Joseph's life. And it hit me again on Jacob, who was Joseph's father, and the third in the line, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was later turned to Israel. And it was an amazing chapter because some of my favorite verses is all that took place when his brothers go down to Egypt to talk to him. And all that transpires between him and his brothers and his family, and because it's a picture of Jesus and Israel and what's going to happen in the last days, possibly our lifetime. And it's just a gorgeous picture. But in it, what grabbed me again, I studied through, was the story of Jacob and what he had believed and how he had lived his life, the last 25 or 30 years of his life, and what he had gone through and transpired through. And I want to talk to you today, and we're going to read it and then read a little bit and then I'll let you sit down. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17. Everybody say 17. He was 17 years old. Thank you. And it says that he was 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah and his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Everybody say tattletale. The boy was good, but the boy had some issues, all right? Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill him?" Now, they get mad. And you know the stories. I won't take time to read it, but they get mad. He begins to tell some dreams that he had. You remember the story. We've told it before. And he tells them, "Guess what? I had this great dream. You're going to bow down to me." And, you know, it really infuriated them. And Judah said to his brothers, "What profit?" And they said, "Let's kill the guy. What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, make some money off of him. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh, and his brothers listen to him." Then the Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes and returned to his brothers. "The boy is gone, and where shall I go?" Then they took Joseph's robe. Remember the robe of many colors that you know, he had a robe of many colors his daddy had made for him. And let me know, if you want to not stand out in a crowd, you do not wear a robe of many colors. You ever saw somebody walk in here and they just stand out in the whole crowd, you know? And they got something flashy they wore. That was a flashy coat. I'm going to tell you, it was the leather jacket of the day. And it was flashy. It was all there. And they took it and they kept it and they sold Joseph. And they dipped the robe, and they slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe into the blood of the goat. And they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, This we have found. Please identify whether it's your son's robe or not." And Joel Jacob identified it and said, "It's my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him." I guess they said, you know, we didn't lie. We didn't tell him anything. He made up the story about an animal devouring him. "It's my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without a doubt torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments. Now watch this. For the next 25 years, he is going to believe what he just started to believe. I want you all, everybody in here, remember 25 years. What were you doing 25 years ago? The older you are, the more you probably won't remember. I guess I was eating supper or something. I don't know. Some of you weren't even born yet. Some of you, your parents weren't even married yet. Think about 25 years. He is going to believe what he just started to believe. He's going to believe that for the next 25 years. It's one thing to believe something and then a week later find out, oh, that wasn't true. Here's what's really true. It's another thing to believe something for 25, everybody say 25 years. You'll see, I'll show you in just a minute. Joseph was 17 years old. When he's raised up in Egypt, he's 30 years old. He goes through a time and then through 7 years of great plenty and then through part of the 7 years of the famine. And that's when his brothers come to him. So imagine 17 years old. He's now nearing 40 years old or whatever. Jacob believes this for 25. Have you ever, anybody here believed something for over 20 or 25 years and then found out it wasn't true? Anybody here believed? Anybody won't do that? Let's see. There's one. Anybody else? You believe something for 20, 25 years, and then 20 some years later, you realize and find out that is not true. That didn't happen. It's not true. All right. Jacob tore his garments, put sackcloth on his loins, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And 25 years he refused to be comforted. 25 years of mourning, 25 years of walking through at night. We don't know how long that you know, you walk through to where some pains become a memory and memories become hurtful, but they're there. 25 years he walks through a devastation of his life. He's refused to be comforted. He said, no, I shall go down to Sheol, to hell, to my son. Everybody say mourning. 25 years he mourned for his boy. 25 years, how long he kept that coat, we don't know. But night after night, he would clutch that coat and he would weep over something that was not true. 25 years, he believed a lie that he thought was truth. In fact, because in his hands, he held a coat of many colors, dipped in blood, his own son's blood, he believed. And 25 years, that thought embedded itself in his mind. 25 years he lived the lie. 25 years he believed something that was not true. He said, I'll go down to hell to my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him to Egypt, to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have you bereaved of my children. Now listen, now we're going in time 25 years. What you just read, 25 years before. Now we've just gone 25 years ahead. And the brothers have come back to Egypt, from Egypt, because there was a famine in the land. And unbeknownst to them, Joseph is now ruler in Egypt, and they don't recognize him. He looks like an Egyptian. And he's speaking Egyptian to them, and he's an interpreter to the Hebrew, and they don't know he can understand them. They don't recognize him. He's made up with all the bedecked. And the Bible says he begins to question them and ask them this and that. And there's 11 of them that's come down. There's 12 sons of Jacob and 12 tribes of Israel. But now there's only 11 because the father thinks Joseph's dead. So he sends his 11 brothers down. And what he doesn't know is that he has a brother. During those 25 years that he's been a captive and been a prisoner and been in Egypt, he didn't know that his dad, by his mother, had one other boy by the name of Benjamin. And the Bible says Joseph is questioning and he sees his brothers that's come down and they kneel down. And you got to listen to this, because when he began to dream his dream was all about him. I had a dream last night. You guys came and bowed down to me. And then he had a second one, grander than the first. He said, Dad, I saw you and the sun and the moon, which is mom and dad. I saw all of you bow down to me. And everything revolved around him. Now he's 25 years later, and the brothers come in, and they all bow down before him. You don't hear a bit of boastfulness, because he realized this, and you'll see later on in life, is he said, listen, the dream wasn't about me. The dream was for God to save the world. Come on, somebody. The vision wasn't just about me. The vision was God to use me to save the world during this famine. You'll find your dreams are very little unless you begin to let them be beyond you. Your vision isn't just for you. Your vision is what God can do through you to touch a world. Come on, somebody. So he had that thing. So the Bible says, Jacob, their father, said to them, "Me have you bereaved of my children?" They come back and they say, "Daddy, we met the ruler in Egypt and he wants us to bring the youngest son back," because Benjamin didn't go down with them. And they go and they tell Daddy, Jacob said, "Jacob, Daddy, he wants us to bring Benjamin down." And his daddy said, "What? What did you tell him about Benjamin?" He said, "Well, we didn't know. We were just, he was questioning us and asking us." And then when he found out about it, he said, "I'm not going to give you any grain unless you bring your youngest son so that I know you're not spies. And to do that, I'm going to send you home, but I'm keeping one of you. I'm going to keep Simeon, one of the brothers. I'm going to keep him here as a hostage." They go back and they tell Jacob, and Jacob says, "Absolutely, I'm not sending Benjamin. I've lost Joseph. I'm not sending Benjamin." And this is what he finally says. And Jacob, their father, said to them, "Me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not." Now listen, this is his truth. This is his world. This is what he believes. Joseph is not. Simeon is not. He's in the hands of a tyrant. And you will take Benjamin away? All these things are what? That's his facts, but it's not the truth. It's what he believed, but it's not the truth. It's what he thought for 25 years, but it's not real. And Reuben spoke to his father, saying, "Slay my two sons if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, Benjamin, and I will bring him to thee again." And he said, "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother's dead, he's left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which you go, then shall you bring down my gray hair with sorrow to my grave." Now watch this. Don't need to read. Go to the next scripture. So they went finally, Jacob says, "Go, we're about to starve to death, go." They went to Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob. And they told him, listen. They told him, they go back down, Joseph reveals himself to them. Simeon's not in the hands of a tyrant. "I'm your brother Joseph." They could not believe their eyes. And finally, when it's all worked out, they head back home and they go back. And you imagine it was a long ride home because it's, we got to tell Daddy what we did. How many know truth will always come out? It may take 25 years. In the Doctorian family, there is a story of a car that the truth has not yet come out because three of them were in a car and the car magically took off by itself and ran through a gate or a fence or a ditch or something and had a wreck. The truth has not come out yet whose fault it was. But truth always comes out sooner or later. Can you imagine that ride home? They're going, "We got to tell Daddy what we did. We got to tell Daddy what we did." And so they come home and the first thing out of their mouth is this: "Joseph is still alive." 25 years grieving. 25 years of believing something. How many know that doesn't 25 years of believing something doesn't get wiped out in one little statement. Joseph is still alive and he's ruler over all the land of Egypt. And his heart became numb for he did not believe them. When you believe something for 25 years, even when they come back and they look you square in the face and they said, "Joseph is still alive." And when they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Jacob and Israel said, "It's enough. Joseph is still alive." I want to talk to you on that theme this morning. Everybody say it with me. Joseph is still alive. Say it one more time. Joseph is still alive. Father, we ask you this morning that you would come in and break down every lie that we believe that's not true. I pray in this house this morning, Lord, things that have been in our life, let there be a paradigm shift in our hearts and our minds to believe what you said over the facts of whatever we've experienced. Father, we believe that you're truth, and in you there is no lie, and in you there's no darkness. And Father, we repent for believing the father of lies and the deceiver, Lord. And we believe you above all, everything else. We trust in you this morning. We love you with all our hearts. Everybody said a good amen? Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad he's going to let us sit down finally. Would you say, I'm glad he's going to finally let us sit down. Hey, we don't have Ben and Alyssa. They're waiting on their baby. It's due on the 7th. Is that right? Am I remembering right? And Alyssa's mom's here. Stephanie's here. Give her a good welcome this morning, would you? She's here with us. So we're excited. So we're waiting every day for the call to come. And so maybe this week we'll just let the Lord in his timing. All right. Joseph is still alive. As I've said, you can read through there. I had some scripture to show you. But Joseph was sold into Egypt by the brothers. And for 25 years, from 17 years old until probably upwards to 40 years old, his daddy believes that he is dead. Has no idea. Not only that, can you imagine Jacob now living a life thinking, God, not only was the heartbreak of his son, but mingled with that were the other promises God had given. That was, God, you had promised that there would be 12 tribes of Israel, and now one of them is gone. And how can that happen? Mingled with that would have been, God, you gave my son dreams, and how are those dreams ever going to come to pass now that he's passed? And all those things are just part of it. And says, I believe that he had to come to a place where he said, God, I believe you, but at the same time, I don't understand. The facts are this. He's dead. He's gone. How can you bring to pass your promise to Abraham and to Isaac? How are you going to do that? Listen, sometimes it's so hard to hold on to what God has told you when all the evidence, all the physical evidence, all the facts point absolutely opposite. Jacob held in his hands the coat that he'd made for his son or had made for him. He held in his hands blood all over it, believing it to be the blood of his son, because in that day they didn't have the tests and all that we have today. Believing it was the blood of his boy, and he's sitting there broken, a broken man, and he said for the rest of his life, I believe he was a broken man. He mourned until the day he went down to Sheol, as he said he would do. And I've learned this, God loves to put us in situations where the facts say one thing and God says something else. This morning, if you read reading with us, God brought the children of Israel. And the Bible says the angel that was went with them led them. And the angel led them to this peninsula out in the Red Sea. And on one side was mountains, and on the other side is water. And now on this side is water. God led all the children of Israel out there. And I love the way, I like to do it, because he led them out. And then God said to Moses, stay right here, I'll be right back. And he starts leaving. And Moses says, wait, where are you going, God? And God says, I'm going to get Pharaoh. I'll be right back, I'm going to get him. And Moses said, what, Lord, with us right here? And the key is God always loves to put us in situations where our faith has to be activated to live our life. If it weren't, then we would just be normal people. But he puts us in situations where all the facts say it's not going to happen. Some of you are in situations today where the devil has told you, or whispering in your ear, it's too late. Let me tell you something about God. It is never too late with our God. The last chapter has not been, the fat lady has not sung. With God, there is always an after. There with God, there's always something God can do. The devil's whispering in some of your ears, it's over. It's too late. It's done. Some of you have believed some things for years and years, the way that you are, the way that you'll be. But I'm going to tell you something, 25 years before they go and they tell their dad, they bring Jacob, the news about Joseph's death. And you remember the story how the brothers sold him and all that. And 25 years, I'm going to tell you, when he comes back and they tell Jacob, their dad, everything that's true. He went numb. He absolutely went numb because he could not believe what he was hearing. I'm going to tell you, when the truth comes out in your situation, your heart will have a time of grasping it. But if you let the Holy Spirit work on your heart, He will change you. Listen, and God will do something. God can change lives. Never, listen, never doubt that God cannot unscramble scrambled eggs. God can unscramble scrambled eggs. You say, but Pastor, it's so scrambled. It's so mixed up. It's so done with. God can unscramble scrambled eggs. I just thought I'd throw that in and say a few times. Everybody say Joseph is still alive. That tells me that after 25 years, you never give up on God. Say that with me. Never give up on God. I don't care how long it's been. Listen, don't ever let the devil tell you that God cannot. Listen, Joseph is still alive. I remember the story of a woman who believed that God spoke to her and told her that her husband would be saved. They owned a business together. And God said, your husband is going to be saved. And she knew it with all her heart and went in her to it. And she was an on-fire Christian. And one day she got the word, your husband's been killed. He was coming back from a road trip. And your husband was killed on the road in a car accident. And at the grave, she wept bitterly because she believed that God had said her husband would be saved. In fact, to the point to where she literally began to backslide away from God. And one day, I'll never forget the testimony. She gave the testimony. She said, one day I was running the business and the phone rang. And my secretary said, ma'am, there's a salesman here to see you. She said, I don't deal with salesmen. You know, let the other underlings do that. And she said, no, he knew your husband would like to talk to you. And he had called in here and asked for your husband, but I told him, you know, your husband had passed and he wants to talk to you. And so he came and she said, she let him in. And here come this nice looking gentleman. He says, you don't know me, ma'am. I said, but I met your husband years ago. And said, I was just got released from the army and I was hitchhiking home. And he said, your husband stopped and picked me up. And on the way, I felt so impressed to witness to him about the Lord, because I'm an on fire Christian. He said, I witnessed to your husband, and you ought to hear him. He told me that his life was starting to fall apart, and he knew he needed something. And he said, we stopped. He parked the car over. For 30 minutes, we wept and prayed together, and your husband gave his life to the Lord and loves. And he said, he let me off. And what I hear and understand, it was the day that he died in the car. Come on, somebody. You can believe something for so long and find out later it's not true. That every man be a liar, let God be true. Come on. And so when you come to that place and you understand that, everybody say Joseph is still alive. Listen, Joseph is, I don't care how many years have gone by, I don't care what the facts are, Joseph is still alive. Listen, what promises God is, listen, you've got to believe either there are times in your life when God will bring you, whether you're going to believe the promises of God or you're going to believe the facts as they stand. Either you're going to believe what God has said or you're going to, I love what Acts chapter 27, Paul said this, I love it. He said, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest lay on us, this is when he was in that storm, all hope of our being saved was at last what? All hope. How many know God loves to bring us to that place where all hope is abandoned? There's absolutely no more hope. Day after day, that storm, that Heraclidon, they called it, came down upon that ship and it beat that ship and they'd thrown stuff apart and they cast off everything they had. And that storm would not start. 20 some days kept battering that ship. And the Bible says the day finally came when all hope was abandoned. Have you ever been there? When all hope has been abandoned. And listen to this. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not set sail from Crete and incur this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I... Listen, the angel showed up when all hope had been abandoned. The angel showed up when all hope had been abandoned. There an angel stood before me and God whom I serve, whom I belong, and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. How many know that whole ship was going to be saved for Paul's sake? You must stand before Caesar. Behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men. For I have faith in God, it will be exactly as I have been told. Come on, somebody. I know it looks bad. I know all hope's been abandoned. But I believe God, it will be exactly as God has told me. I'm going to tell you, God loves to bring us in situations when all hope is abandoned and something rises in your heart that tells you everything's going to be okay. And you know in your heart, and you say in your heart, listen, I know it looks bad. I know hope is gone. I know it's dark. I know it's stormy. But I know this, I believe God that it will be exactly as God has said it will be. Come on, give him a good clap offering this morning. Come on. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, he said it this way, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Look at the next one. So we do not lose heart. Though our outward self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, the facts, the evidence, the coat of many colors with blood all over it. While we look not at the things which are seen, but to the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen really are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You know, one time I'd rather be standing on the Word of God than on the earth, because one day the earth is going to pass away with everything in it. Stand on the Word of God. It will never pass away. It will never go. Listen, you've got to come to the place where you either going to believe facts at times or eternal truths. Never deny the facts. Just say there's a truth beyond the facts. You'll remember this old TV show. Put the little cue up there and get that TV show queued up.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Sir, when you just step this way, okay? We just need to get some information. Okay.
All right.
Just take a seat.
No, I don't. Right.
Okay. I'm going to tell you what I tell everyone else.
Okay.
I understand you've been through a lot. This is hard for you. You just need to be strong, and you need to get the facts, and just the facts.
Okay.
Okay? So a good place to start would be, when did you last see your youngest son, Joseph?
I don't know.
Well, you must know it just happened, right? This morning?
Yeah. It was the morning, and Reuben, Gad, Asher, you know, all of them were out in the fields with the flock.
Yes, and Joseph was with you, I assume?
Yeah, he was with me. And I just told him to go check on his brothers, and...
Yeah, come on, we need to pick this up, okay? He was with you. That was the last time you saw him, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened from then, a few hours later?
Yeah, it was a couple hours later. His brothers came back, and...
Yes.
And they had, you know, his coat with them, and... It was all bloody.
Okay, so that's all you know, I assume.
That's it.
Okay, that's a shame. Okay. Well... Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
We'll have a follow-up interview in a few days.
Thank you.
Yes, Pam? Yes, I need to talk to either Wynn Berkman or Mick Niller, please. Yes, sir. We have the evidence and all the... he told me everything he knows. I mean, all the evidence points to he's dead for sure. Whether it was homicide or an accident, it definitely happened. We need to have the blood analyzed on the coat to make sure it's real, but he definitely died. So, yes, sir. I'm coming. All right.
Everybody say the facts. Remember the old dragnet thing? All he used to say was, just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. Don't want your opinion. Don't want what you think. Just the facts. Jacob had the facts. He had the coat of many colors in his hands. Thanks, guys. Give them a good clap offering. Thanks, guys. They're going to be using it. One day during one of his classes, Einstein was brought the dimensions of an insect, and they wanted Einstein to tell them what insect it was. And when he looked at it, he said, you know, it could be a number of insects, but I'll tell you one thing I know about it. It cannot fly. You all know the story. What insect was it? It was a bumblebee. How many know the bumblebee? That may be the facts, but the bumblebee knows it can fly. Come on, somebody. It may have the dimensions and the weight and all that it has. It can't fly, but it can fly. Listen, the men of Hebrews 11 staked their lives on things not seen. The men of Hebrews and the women of Hebrews 11 believed God oversight of all the facts that they had to face in their lives. Noah was one of them. Look at this in Hebrews. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen. Noah, it's going to rain. And okay, wait, what's rain? It's never rained in its life, in the history of the world. Rain, the dew used to come up. There'd been no rain. And the Bible says that events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world, became an heir of righteousness that comes. Everybody say, by faith. See, if faith does not have to stand in the face of facts, then faith would be very easy. But many times faith has to come in the sense of other acts, facts. Now, my wife has been to one football game, LSU football game, in her entire life. And she went to the football game a couple years ago, and she just happened to go to the LSU-Tennessee football game. And I want to do this because many of you remember this because, well, I'll just show it to you, and then we'll stop there. Show the ending of the LSU-Tennessee football game.
Shotgun, second down goal from the 2-yard line. 32 ticks left. He's going to tuck and run. Jefferson finds the seam. No! Inside the two. Inside the two. And LSU's got to hurry this thing up. No timeouts.
And now you don't have your throwing quarterback on the field. They got two plays.
Jefferson. There's a mix-up.
Clock is running.
It is running down.
You got to spike it. You got to do something. Spike it. You got to spike it to get one more play.
Down to four. Down to three. Jefferson wasn't ready for it.
Ball game.
It is over. It is over in Baton Rouge.
Can you believe it?
Clock mismanagement. And it destroys LSU.
Unbelievable. I'll tell you, Craig, you're out of timeouts. Your second down play does not work. All right, you got plenty of time. You know you have no timeout. If you want to get a good play called, spike the clock. So at least you have one chance at a good play. You can think about what play you want run instead of trying to have your quarterback go out there and make a play on his own. There was complete chaos on the field.
Absolute chaos as Jefferson was unprepared for that snap, picked up by Tennessee. Helmet.
Testing. One, two. I don't know what happened at your house. We flipped that TV off, cut it off. Everybody that was at the house with me, I think Jen and Kirby and Ben, I forgot. We flipped that TV off. We said, that's it. I ain't watching no more of that. Everybody left. We're sitting in the house. We know what happened. We got the facts. 0-0-0. They're celebrating. Things are going good. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what caused it. I said, well, let me see what the next game is. I flipped the TV back on. And how many, anybody else cut your TV off when this happened? Anybody else cut your TV? What's wrong with you guys? I mean, I cut the TV off. I said, I cannot believe they did it again. right? It wasn't the first time this happened. They did it again. I cannot believe it. And I believe the facts. But how many know that's not the truth? Watch the rest of the game. You know this, but
helmets are tossed and thrown. We're trying to find out if there is the possibility of a penalty on this play. It doesn't look to me as the... Well, here we go.
Illegal participation on the defense. 12-mile field.
Oh, my.
After this is to the goal, we play third down.
Oh, my. Players on the field. This game is not over. And now what happens? You just saw Jefferson. He's on a huddle to the near side.
Let's count him. Let's see. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I don't see a 12th man on the field. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now they're coming out of the field with more. You know what?
And the one turns and comes back.
Yep. So let's count them again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I got 13 people on the field. And up. You know what?
Unbelievable.
There was no way LSU was going to make a play there anyway. What a break for LSU. They had no idea what they wanted to do.
One untimed play. See, what's amazing, I was trying to point out that Jefferson was at the sideline having the time to settle his team down and call a play.
No doubt. He did.
Jefferson will go under center in a wild end here in Baton Rouge. Chris Ridley.
For a Super Bowl.
13 players on the field.
Some of you never watched the game before, I can tell. Some of you never saw that before, never knew about it. Hey, let me tell you something. It's never over until God says it's over. And it can be in your life the same way. It can happen. Jacob, 25 years, believed one way and then found out 25 years later, unlike here, just a few seconds before. I'm going to tell you, when God does the impossible... Abraham believed it. You can read on. I'm just going to tell you this. We're going to end up. Musicians, come on back up, would you? You know what happened one time? The Bible says, I like what Peter said. One time Peter was in a boat, and Jesus was walking on the water, and he said, come. And can you imagine, the facts say that the weight of my body and the makeup of H2O, water, if I step out on water, I'm sinking. How many know sometimes physical facts can be superseded by the supernatural hand of God? He walked on the water. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is one time a ruler of a synagogue named Jairus came to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, my little girl, she's sick. Near death, she's sick. Can you come? The Bible says Jesus says yes. And on the way, it's the story of the woman with the issue of blood. They get interrupted on the way. And this woman with the issue of blood touches Jesus. And then Jairus is standing right there beside Jesus. Let me tell you something about interruptions in life. Interruptions in life are not interruptions. They are God's teaching tools. Because all that's transpiring in this life of this woman with the issue of blood, this daddy, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, is watching all of this. His faith is being built up. His faith is starting to when he sees this miracle before it ever happened, because he's about to have to choose between facts and faith. And the woman with the issue of blood stretches her hand out and touches Jesus' garment, and Jesus says, who touched me, and all that had transpired. And then she's brought, and she cannot be hidden any longer. And she tells a story I've been sick for years and years. I'm poor. I'm out of money. I've wasted it on doctors that never could help me. I was at the end of my life, and you say, when I touched you, you did the impossible. The ears of Jairus is listening to all of this. His eyes are watching the impossible. Because right when they finish with that, they start walking on toward Jairus' house. And then Jairus, to his dismay, he saw some of his servants come up over top a hill, and they're ashen white. And they come up and they say this to Jairus. They said, Jairus, it's too late. Everybody say it's too late. Would you say it? Let me tell you something. It's never too late with God. It's too late. Your daughter has died. Why trouble the master? And the Bible says they were talking to Jairus apart from Jesus. They were just telling him they were telling him the facts. And Jesus is listening. And he turns and he looks at Jairus. And let's just say they're on the other side and Jesus on this side, Jairus is in the middle. And Jesus looks at him and here's what he says. Fear not. Only believe. I know facts have been told you. Facts have been told you right now. And you think you heard the facts. But listen to my word. Fear not. Only believe. And the Bible says, can you imagine? He had a choice to make. I'm going to believe the facts. Or I'm going to believe the words of Jesus. Fear not. Only believe. Too late. It's over. It's finished. Or fear not, only believe. The early church took a hit one time. James, one of their great leaders, was murdered by the officials. And the officials, you know, they saw the results of it so much they grabbed Peter, going to kill Peter too the next day, just like they killed James the few days before. James, and the Bible says this very clearly. It says, in the night before, in the morning, they're going to kill him. In the morning, we're bringing you out, Peter, we're going to kill you. The Bible says he was sleeping so deep when the angel came in to deliver him. Read it. The Bible says in Acts, the angel had to smite him. You know, Peter, you know, this. I think the angel said, Peter, wake up. Finally smote him. Get him out of that. He was in the, I don't know how many levels of sleep there is. He was in the dark, deepest level. He was gone. I don't know about you. Sleep would be a little bit hard for me if I knew in the morning they had just told me they're going to kill me, cut my head off, you know. But you know what? I can imagine if you'd interviewed Peter that time, he said, I'm not worried. Why, Peter? The word of the Lord. I know, but the facts are you're in jail. They just killed James. It happened to him. Why are you saying it can't happen to you? Because in the morning they said they're going to kill you and they're going to execute you in the morning. Oh, he said, some years ago, I was with Jesus on a shore. And I had denied him three times and he brought me back and restored me. And then he said something to me. He said, when you're young, you did all that you wanted to do and went where you wanted to go. But he said something to me that day. He said, but when you grow old, another will lead you where you don't want to go. I'm still a young man. Come on, somebody. I'm still a young man. I know the facts are you killed James. That was his life. I know the facts. The facts are you got me in chains. I'm bound. I've got, you know, had squadrons of people guarding him. And in the morning, they were going to bring him out and kill him. Because the authorities had already gone through the resurrection. They knew how to guard something. They'd gone through his others. And they had him in there to kill him. And he's sleeping like a baby. You know why? He chose to believe God over the facts. He believed that God said, I'm going to be old one day. And I'm not old yet. I'm still a young guy. He's probably in his early 20s. I'm still a young guy. God said, I'm going to be old one day. Which one are you going to believe this morning? The facts or believe God? Everybody stand up in this place. Would you stand up and believe the Lord? Go ahead, lead us in a song. Would you? Come on.
You are God alone. From before time began, yes, you are on your throne, and you are God alone, and right now.
Take Benjamin. All these things are against me. Let me tell you, your Joseph is not dead. Even if they've gone on beyond this life, they're alive and forevermore. Simeon is not in the hands of a tyrant. He's in the hands of his beloved brother. And Benjamin is not going to be. Benjamin is going to be honored five times beyond what even the rest of them get. Benjamin is going to be honored when he goes. Let me tell you something, every one of you Jacobs out there, your Joseph is still alive. I don't care what the facts say. Your Joseph is still alive. Your Joseph is still alive. Your Joseph is still alive. When you grab hold in prayer of the promises of God, you'll be like Jairus. You either got to choose one or the other. And I choose, like Paul, I choose to believe God. I believe it will be done unto me exactly as he said. I choose to believe God. And this morning we thank you, Lord, with all our hearts for your word. Thank you for grace that abounds, that's great, greater than nothing, Lord. Your grace is greater than all my sin. Your grace can abound. Your grace is more than enough. Who is sufficient? Your grace is sufficient. This morning we honor you with it in Jesus' name. Now maybe you're here this morning. Everybody just close your eyes just for a second. Maybe you're here and you've never really surrendered your whole life to the Lord because you thought it's impossible for God to save somebody like you. Maybe you didn't think it'll ever happen. It can never happen to you. Everybody else it can happen to, but you're too bad or you're too whatever. And are you just not, whatever it may be. I'm going to tell you, God can do the impossible in your life. God can change you. He can change you like he did the brothers of Joseph. When they sold him down into Egypt, they were heartless. They sold him and they told their dad and watched their daddy for years and years, heartbreak, and they were hardened men. And the day came when they stood before Joseph, and you ought to read about him. They said, one of them says, I'll give my life. No, he said, Daddy, you take my two sons. I'll bring him back alive. They're giving of themselves. Men change. God can change your life. And God can change you from the inside out. God can make you a brand new person. God can make your desires and wants change. He can give you love where there's hate. He can give you release where there's bondage. God can do that in your life this morning. He wants to do it. How does he do it? He does it all through the cross. Because on the cross, Jesus paid for your sins and my sins. But he paid for each one of ours individually as if we were the only person ever. And this morning, if you need to know that, listen, God can change your life. And I can tell you there's a better life, not only in the sweet by and by, but in the nasty now and now. God can change you. You can live this life with heart, with love, with expectancy, God can change your life right now. So right now, if you want that, if you just want God to change your life, would you just ask Him? You don't have to ask me. Ask Him. Say, Jesus, I want everybody, just everybody say this with me. Say, dear Jesus, change my life. I need a Savior because I am a sinner. I believe what You did on the cross, You did for me personally. And I believe in Your death that it paid for my sins. Thank You for dying in my place. Right now, I surrender my life. I give it over into Your hands. Take my life and remake me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Hey, give the Lord a good clap offering this morning. Turn around and give somebody a good high five. Would you do that? Give them a good high five. You go in the name of the Lord. Do that song one more time. From the good times.
This is You are God alone. From before time began, yes, You are on Your throne.